so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. And we love to hear from you. You can get in touch at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com. You can tell us topics you'd like to hear about or schedule an individual consult about what natural remedies you might find useful for yourself. And for health professionals, including nurses, nurse practitioners, RDs, nutritionists, acupuncturists, and massage therapists, we have CE credit courses almost every single day because we have them both on ground and online. Tonight, if you're in the Florida area, I will be lecturing on the gut-brain connection at the American Holistic Nurses Association, and you can get credits for that. And then later in the week, we'll be at Life Extension Institute on Saturday, and then on Sunday, we have an online 3-credit course, and that's on natural remedies for the heart. So almost every single day, there's a way you can interact with us, and we love to hear from you. So get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Today, we're so happy to have as our guest Dr. Linda Lancaster, and we'll be talking about integrating subtle energy in medicine. Linda is the founder and president of the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicines, the founder of Light Harmonics Institute, and chairperson of Medicina Alternativa North America. Dr. Linda is an integrative health practitioner specializing in energy medicine, homeopathy, naturopathy, and radionics, internationally recognized in scientific communities as a catalyst for the integration of all medicines in the interest of world peace. It says for over 3 decades, but I know Linda well, and I think it's longer than 3 decades, but in any way, very long time she has been involved in fostering communication, scientific exchange, and healing within the global integrative health community through chairing international conferences and forums, such as the exciting up-and-coming GFIM World Congress of Integrative Medicines. Dr. Lancaster believes that in the acceptance, appreciation, and integration of all medicines, there lies a powerful and as yet untapped path to world peace. Dr. Lancaster believes peace can most rapidly be achieved through the awareness of consciousness. She has been integrating medicine and bringing together professionals with widely diverse backgrounds to communicate, learn, and experientially understand our oneness. The result is a large, growing, and inspired community of multi-talented, broadly educated healers actively committed to patient and planetary health. So I'm so happy to bring on board as our guest today, Dr. Linda Lancaster. Thank you for joining us today, Linda.
Well, thank you for having me, Ellen.
Now, we're going to talk about a lot of things, and we'll go into some great details about the up-and-coming conference, and that is the GFIM World Congress, which is coming right up. People can find more, and this will be posted on our website as well at gfimusa.com. We'll review some of the speakers. But first, I'd like to go back in time and talk about what got you involved in being involved in natural healing.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
That's right. Bring us back.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel very well, and I had lots of allergies, and I was doing yoga at the time, still doing yoga, but at that time I started yoga in 1971, and I changed my diet, I really took care of, you know, Ellen, you knew me then.
Well, I did, believe it or not. That's why in your bio, whoever, you know, put that together said 3 decades. But that's why I'm thinking, I think it even goes back before 3 decades.
Decades of professionally doing conferences, for sure.
Right.
But so I was a researcher, and I came across, well, I was working in, actually at Capitol Records in a regular job, an executive kind of job, and I just was really so sick, and I, lots of sneezing, lots of allergy, all digestive problems. So I moseyed into a health food store and started looking around and went straight to the book section and began to read the books that were in the health food store. Pablo Arola, Bragg, the old-timers. And I was very fascinated, and it seemed to integrate very well with my yogic practice, and I became friendly with the health food manager in Huntington, New York, by the way, correct health food store. And they needed someone to work. So I quit my job and I worked in the health food store, and then everything sort of opened up. Learned about organic food, and I learned about all the grassroots movement of the health awareness. And then I had I left my job because I had I got pregnant and I had a child, and briefly I worked actually with Anna Kosla, who created Earth Shoes. So I did that in Huntington for a while. Also with this whole new understanding of the natural health movement, and then. Since I couldn't work, I had a small child, I started teaching cooking classes in my home. And then one day I got a phone call from a local chiropractor who heard about me and wanted me to come and teach cooking at the clinic. And as you know, Ellen, I wound up becoming the director of the clinic, and you worked with us at that clinic.
Right. That is
as a nurse.
That. It was a wonderful
as a nurse,
place.
Back
natural
in the day, we had
holistic services.
And so I started running this clinic. And in the process of running the clinic, I realized I needed a system that was going to be dependable. So I would ask around, you know, I started studying applied kinesiology. I studied with Goodhart and Sheldon Deal. I started using applied kinesiology. Then I used electroacupuncture device and EAV device to measure the ting points. And all through this process, I was finding causes of why the person was sick. And those causes were heavy metals and radiation and parasites and bacteria and worms and fungus and so forth. So I started really pulling my toolbox together. Then one day I heard about this 90-year-old woman at the time named Dr. Hazel Parcells. And here I am with a small child, and I knew she was in New Mexico. I found out she was in New Mexico. There was no way I could go to New Mexico, so I kept searching around. There was someone teaching the work of Parcells in New York City, and I went to the class. And that night, after the first day that I was there, I had a dream. And that dream was Parcells in this cave, learning this system that I was just learning. So I figured after three times people saying I should go see Parcells, let me give her a call. And so she said, you must come immediately. So I went off and traveled to New Mexico. It was very difficult for me with a small child. But that's when I learned medical radiesthesia, and all the pieces began to fit. So my path started from me being sick and looking for answers, going into a health food store, learning about what was on the shelves and what information was there. And then, you know, the universe kind of opens up and gives you clues, and sometimes you have to jump on those clues. So I became Dr. Parcells' protege, and she gave me permission to teach her work. And I then moved from Long Island. I was living in Babylon, Long Island. I moved to from Long Island to New Mexico to be with her in her last years. However, she lived till 106, so she was here for quite a while.
I know, what a treat. What a treat.
That's yeah, great. That was really great. In fact, I know you had Anne Louise speaking, I guess it was last week, and Anne Louise also was a student of Dr. Parcells, our great pioneer in energy medicine.
Yes, that's true. We go back a long ways. This is not new, but I would say your specialty really stands out. Because although you do see clients individually, and people should know that, and they can find you at lightharmonics.com, and I know that you are in New York as well as Santa Fe, and I imagine you do a lot long distance these days as well, your real focus is much larger. And I would say, when I think of you, your focus is international, and it's about how natural healing is linked to the concept, and God willing, the reality of world peace.
Yes, it is.
So how did that piece come in for you? Because that's unusual. Most people,
it is unusual.
They're working on their practice and their private life, not that big, giant, expansive world peace concept.
I know. Okay, so I was practicing as as an energy medicine practitioner, running a clinic and so forth, and I was invited to go to Sri Lanka to give a presentation on my work at the Medicina Alternativa conferences that they do every year in Sri Lanka. And I met Anton Jayasurya, who was a big influence on me as well, because of his understanding of healing. He taught me, number one, that the patient is the most important person in the clinic. Number two, he taught me that this is not just an individualized movement, it is a world movement. So I became chairperson maybe for 20 conferences with him all around the world. And I always got to sit in a room as the moderator chairperson with India and Pakistan. So what I noticed, there were no countries in that room. Everyone spoke with each other. Everybody was kind and gracious, and they were on this one path of how do we heal mankind in a natural way, in the easiest way, in the most sensible way of healing. Medicina Alternativa, how it started, was as alternative medicine. Anton then changed it to complementary medicine and then integrative medicine. And then, of course, as you know, I brought it to GFIM as his request of Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine in the idea of peace. The medicine that we use is peaceful medicine. We don't try to push or block it. We allow the body to flow.
That's a very interesting concept, Linda, that what you just shared. in that the kind of medicine that you do with energy medicine is peaceful medicine, and we're working towards more peace in the world. Because when we think about conventional medicine, it's so not peaceful.
I call it war medicine.
Everything
sometimes
from waiting for a long time in a freezing cold office, even when you're sick, being thrown on a cold table. Nowadays, the doctor does not even look, touch, or smell the patient anymore. The doctor is usually facing the computer. I mean, I see this day in and day out as a nurse. And the doctor is looking for codes and electronic and hardly touches or doesn't touch the client and just writes a prescription or orders a test, which in and of itself is cold and hard and invasive. There's so little peace in that entire process.
Yes. And that's where we look at it. We look at it as subtle medicine. You know, when I look at subtle medicine and I look at the body, I look at it as the five elements. And one of the most important elements that is not recognized is the etheric or the ether. And that is actually where the life force is. So our job is really to allow that etheric energy to flow through the body so that it can that energy can be imbibed and create healing. This is not exactly recognized as subtle medicine or you know, in the in the Parcells system, we are reading the etheric energy. We are reading the electromagnetic energy of the cells. And that's not this, you know, the physicists aren't even able to explain this concept as taking the pulse. When you take a pulse, you'll feel that energy. But what is it? It is the etheric energy flowing through the body. And so when you're taking harsh chemicals or you're doing invasive procedures, you are actually blocking that etheric force. So that healing has a more difficult it's more difficult for it to move. Ether is where the life force is. We're always looking at things chemically. We're looking at our bones. We're looking at our organs and so forth. But we're not realizing that all of us, our body would not be alive without ether, without the etheric life force. So in subtle medicine, we need to recognize this etheric force.
I really love that explanation, and you have a most amazing array of speakers coming to New York, and this is coming right up, so you want to check the website, which is gfimusa.com. The conference will be in New York in March, but I don't want to limit it by the date, Linda, because if anyone doesn't make it to New York for the Congress, I know that you will be having the tapes available and other ways for people
to
get
this
information.
Yeah, this is a movement. If you believe in the concept, if you believe that integrative medicine imbibed with subtle energy and the understanding of consciousness, because in the subtle energy is where the consciousness is.
So you're having a doctor. I'm just looking at the unbelievable list of presenters.
Yeah, I'm so sorry you're not going to be.
Medical doctor, because what he's talking about, we really just discussed, the fact that fear is the cornerstone of Western medical practice. It permeates all facets of healthcare, and it is antithetical to the healing process, which is just what you shared.
Yes, well, Ben is an old friend of mine. Oh, by the way, all of these physicians are coming on their own time, and no one is being paid.
And some really high-end doctors. For instance, Dr. Ben is a board-certified otolaryngologist, head and neck surgeon, and, you know, very, very well educated and respected, as are all of your speakers. But I thought it was interesting that he's actually talking about just what you shared with our audience, that in an enlightened age of medicine, which you work towards at Light Harmonics, you're really looking at the foundation of healing to be vibration, love, frequency of creation, and world peace, which seems like completely opposite to...
I know. So getting back to Sri Lanka and being in that room of all these physicians who were from countries who were having wars with each other, because we're going back into the late 80s here and early 90s, and it came to me, it is through healing we unite in peace. So I took that slogan and began the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine with that in mind.
Well, it's exactly right. You know, we need to, I mean, when we look at what's going on in the world today, it just seems to be going so much in the other direction. And of course, there's big forces at work. Since you're so steeped in the knowledge of both Western and Eastern spiritual teachings, there's something called Kali Yuga. That might be a new term for some of our listeners, but it seems to really be coming to a head because there's so much vibration of war everywhere across the world, negativity, and, you know, linked into medicine and education, and really just it has to be sort of the storm before the calm, rather than the calm before the storm.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. If we can heal, help the person to heal, we don't heal. Let's take that off the table. If we can open up the blocks to allow the person to heal and they realize who they are, and they have this peaceful nature about them, they begin to emanate. So one by one, we're creating peace within our environment. Then we have, or we bring on the physicians to also understand this concept. And then we bring the physicians from all over the world together to again understand why we're doing this. We're doing this to create peace in our environment and to emanate that understanding that through healing we are united.
Yes, that's so true. And I'm so happy that you're putting this together for people and really working to educate them. We're going to take a little break right now so that you can listen to the Natural Medicine Chest. And while we're on the break, you might want to visit Dr. Linda's website. That's G-F-I-M as in Mary, USA.com. You'll find out more about the upcoming conference and all the speakers, and also lightharmonics.com. As you can see, she is a fascinating person, and we're so happy to have her on board today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're talking about integrating subtle energy in medicine and how that might lead to peace, peace for the individual, peace for the family, and peace for the world. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
And we love to meet with you in person at our many on-ground presentations. We just had a workshop at Hippocrates Health Institute where we spent the day gathering wild edible and medicinal plants and making them into medicine, and everyone got to take home their own medicine. And that's coming up in the New York area. In June, we will be doing an herb walk and also a medicine-making workshop at Restoration Farm, which is a biodynamic organic farm in Bethpage, might be Old Bethpage, New York. And today we have as our guest wonderful healer Dr. Linda Lancaster. You can find out more about her at lightharmonics.com and also about the conference that she is putting together, the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicines. And this conference and group has been going on quite a while. They're definitely about bringing the latest information about natural medicine to the public and to attendees. And you can go, you can register to go, or you can get the audio tapes after the conference is over. So there's all kinds of ways to learn. So thank you so much, and welcome back, Dr. Linda.
Well, thank you, Ellen.
Now, you're having some really very well-known speakers. For instance, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt is actually making a presentation at the Global Congress as well.
Yes. Dietrich always comes to the GFIM conferences. He's part of the Board of Advisors. And so he's coming, and he will be talking on electromagnetic radiation as a driver of chronic infections, parasite infestation, and entrapment of toxic metals.
You know, Linda, that is getting worse and worse because, as you know, they're now going to the 5G system?
Yes, I do. Yes, I know it very well.
I know you do, but most people don't. What is the problem with that? And even more importantly, what can people do about this onslaught?
Oh, well, you know me. I'm always going to tell people to take sea salt and baking soda baths because that helps to neutralize the radiation. That's an old Parcells a therapeutic bath, which is a pound of sea salt and a pound of baking soda. And I do believe it needs to be done regularly. So the 5G distributed antennas will be talked about by Professor Martin Paul at our conference. And he's probably one of the most important researchers that focuses on biological regulatory mechanisms of chronic inflammatory disease, and talks about how radiation, wireless radiation, which cell phone and other wireless radiation, such as smart meters and so forth, but more importantly, this new 5G distributed antennas that are being put up by the uncontrolled telecommunications. It's just unbelievable that all of this is being passed in many, many cities without anybody really knowing about it. It's just getting higher and higher frequencies, and it's affecting us on our biological mechanisms. Causing chronic inflammation. And yeah. It's one of those invisible culprits, something we don't see. Who would know? We just know our hair is breaking and we're getting rashes and we're tired. And when I check on the subtle level, I find high levels of radiation. So I recommend sea salt and baking soda personally. But there are many devices, but really more importantly, we need to be aware. You shouldn't be sleeping next to your clocks that are emanating this frequency. We should know whether our bed is safe to be in. We should be shutting off our router at night if we can. I don't think we can run away from it, but we can at least make some changes. There are devices. There are so many devices now to protect the computer and protect our body and so forth. So I don't like to recommend any particular device. I suggest that you look online and try to find something that seems to work. You look at the different comments and recommendations, and it's a search. It's a research, just the way we used to have to research, Ellen, to find organic food on Long Island. Do you remember?
Right. It wasn't easy, but now it is. Exactly right.
Now it is.
So that has evolved.
So we are in the technology world. That's going forward. But there needs to be some control of this haphazardly placing these higher antennas everywhere. So Martin Paul will be talking about that.
Right, and just to introduce people, he is a professor emeritus of biochemistry and basic medical sciences from Washington State University. And like all your presenters, these are not just people who came up with an idea a few minutes ago. He has been studying biochemistry and basic medical science for his entire career. And in 2015, he published a study showing that EMFs, which are these frequencies, produce widespread neuropsychiatric effects, including depression. Let me ask you your opinion about something that's in the news right now, Dr. Linda, because I know you keep up with what's going on, both with you probably have thousands of people that discuss their personal health with you, and you attempt to help them keep on track, about this giant flu epidemic.
Uh-huh.
Now, my thought is that it could also be linked to the pushing of the flu vaccines, which, just like taking too many antibiotics and using glyphosate, Monsanto's pesticides, are creating stronger and stronger both weeds and microorganisms.
Ah, yes. That's one of the parts. The other part is the flu is piggybacking on the chemicals in the air.
Because it seems like they're saying it's much worse than for many, many decades.
It really is. And I've seen quite a lot of people in these past couple of months through the flu with only natural remedies, mainly homeopathy. And these are my patients, and so their immune systems are pretty strong. And every one of them asks me, should I get the flu shot? And I always say no, because we are building your immune system. And if you get the flu, which is a 50-50 chance these days getting the flu, your immune system is strong. And if we catch it right in the beginning, we can deal with it homeopathically. So I'm comfortable in that. But I believe it's coming in through the chemtrails of chemicals and heavy metals, this flu that is actually piggybacking and just going around the entire country. I've never seen it so strong, but then again, look at the frequencies that we're living in. Look at the high levels of radiation. Look at the high levels of chemicals. Look at the nanoparticles of aluminum that is in our air. Dr. Klinghart will be talking about this. They are not connecting.
Yeah, we have so many people coming at the conference, and people want this information. Now, you brought up a term that, of course, you throw around like it's every day, and you know that I know, but let's go into deeper, because you are truly, truly an expert in what you talked about a moment ago, which is homeopathy.
Yes.
Now, one thing, Linda, I'm sure you're aware, you know, we wish we could be totally more upbeat because we do want to, you know, move towards world peace, but there's so many forces. I mean, I imagine you do know that the FDA is currently going after homeopathy.
Yeah, I do know that. But, you know, homeopathy is only information. So
true.
If you know how to use homeopathy, you can make remedies. I am not concerned about the control of homeopathy. I believe that they're selling so many homeopathic remedies over the counter in the health food store that the drug companies would like to take over and make the remedies.
Well, what they're talking about, just like with herbs, you know, with herbs, let's say something very simple that most people understand, echinacea. Echinacea is a nice herb. You can grow it yourself. That's what I do. It's been proven to help support your immune system, like what you're talking about.
No, I make my own remedies.
Right. But you can't say on it that it's for colds and flus. So up till this point in time, if you purchased a homeopathic, it could actually say right on it, so you have a clue how to use it correctly. That's being erased immediately. As well as very stupid things. They're saying, like, if something says it has belladonna, and you and I understand that's a frequency, it would no longer be allowed to be sold.
Yeah. Well, only because they don't understand the principles of homeopathy. Take, for instance, belladonna. Belladonna is a poison. If you go out and eat belladonna, you can have fatal symptoms. However, when it is titrated and diluted and shaken, there is no longer belladonna in that remedy. There is only the information of belladonna. And the old homeopaths proved belladonna by titrating belladonna and creating symptoms after taking the remedy for usually over 30 days. You take the remedy, you take the remedy, you take the remedy. And then what happens? You start to create the symptoms that belladonna can produce. So in homeopathy, we believe that the remedy will actually heal the symptoms that it can create. It's called likes, he treats likes.
Well, I'll give a great example of that. When my son, who's, you know well, Titus Kamet Kahutek, he's now 42 years old, when he was a little baby, he had symptoms, and it's 4 in the morning, and what do parents do then? And what he had was, you know, he was ill, and he had a very hot fever with bright red cheeks. Well, those are one of the indications that you might want to use belladonna. There's different indications with different remedies. So I gave him a little bit. He was just a baby. And what happened was his fever broke into a sweat, which was wonderful because then it came down instead of rushing to the emergency room.
The proving of belladonna has those symptoms in it. So we know that we can use that remedy if a child has a fever, if the cheeks are red, the ears can be red, a raging fever, and instantly, and I do mean instantly, like within 15 minutes, you can see the change.
Absolutely. So, and then he had a peaceful night. Let's use one that's not
Ellen,
toxic.
Let's go back to the remedy on the health food store that say cold. There may be belladonna in that remedy. However, very often, the single remedy will work, but not the combination remedy. So a lot of the homeopathic remedies on the in the health food store are shotgun remedies.
That's true, because they're more like a homo cord. But let's go into a simple one. Let's go into onion, because most people know what happens when you cut an onion, and that's a good example because it's not a toxic plant.
Yeah, Allium sepa.
Right. So what symptoms would someone decide that they might need to take that?
So if your eyes were, you're tearing, your eyes are running, and everything is, your eyes are burning, you have a cold, Allium sepa could actually help those symptoms because when we cut an onion, that's what happens. That's a very simple observation in homeopathy for sure. So I encourage people to get a simple first aid homeopathic book and learn your basic remedies. Learn Nux Vomica for hangovers or food poisoning. Learn belladonna for fevers. Learn Hepar Self for colds and earaches. And it's not very difficult to understand homeopathy. I learned it when I first became a mother, before I was a healer, before I was working in the field as a professional.
Yes, it's a wonderful aid. I don't know how I could have gotten through, you know, the many decades of parenthood without it. It's so simple. Children love to take it. It works so incredibly fast, and it's something that should be supported and integrated into standard of practice rather than fought against and taken off the shelf and made to be illegal, which, of course, who's behind that are the pharmaceutical companies, because I think they see people are turning to natural remedies, getting good results, and that interferes with their bottom line, and I think that's a lot of the push against
Correct.
It. In any event, we're going to take one more little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion on integrating subtle energies with our guest today, Dr. Linda Lancaster, and we're so excited to be hosting her in the New York area at the GFIM World Congress of Integrative Medicines coming right up in March. That's GFIMUSA.com for more information, or lightharmonics.com. We'll be right back with more.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Yeah, I'm not known as a a gadget guy, but I love gadgets that really do the trick, like the new app. The Progressive Radio Network has an app, thanks to our friends at Audio Now. Hey, this is Mark Farrell, host of Insight on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we broadcast live out of New York City. But if you can't catch the show live, no frets. It's always archived. It's always on the app. Download it now, listen later, whenever you want. The Progressive Radio Network app is available from our friends at Audio Now. Check it out.
Get your daily dose of happy each morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN. LOA Today is expanding to appear on PRN now 5 mornings per week, Monday through Friday. I'm Walt Thiessen, the host of LOA Today. The way you start your day sets the tone for the rest of the day, so start it happy. We explore the realm of positive psychology, the law of attraction, and the power of positive thinking, and we have a heck of a lot of fun in the process. You'll find yourself smiling each morning. That's LOA Today, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. Get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And our guest today is Dr. Linda Lancaster, ND, PhD, founder and president of the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicines, founder of the Light Harmonics Institute, and chairperson of Medicina Alternativa North America, and many, many more things. As you know, if you've been listening to our show, Linda is someone you definitely want to find out about and connect with. Now, Linda, tell us more about your focus, not only at the conference, but I would say overriding in your work. You use the word integration of all medicines. I think you use that S for a reason in terms of its link to promoting peace.
Yes, because for me, medicine is anything that heals. So whether it's a meditation, whether it's counseling, whether, you know, mental health, whether it's food, you know, consciousness of food, as you and I are very, very connected to, whether it's healing, we want to, food is medicine, meditation is medicine, peace is medicine. Where do we need to be healed? How do we look at ourselves? Health is a balance between the body, which to me, the body is physical and etheric. So the body, the emotions or the astral field, the mental field of how we think, and our connection to the divine. Breathing techniques is medicine. When we breathe, and when we breathe in, we take in, at that pause in between the inhale and the exhale is actual the still point of oneness and consciousness. So as we inhale and we hold it, at that second, it goes so quick because it's always in present moment, and then you release it. So that conscious awareness of breathing is actually medicine to me. Sleep is medicine. Drinking good water is medicine. laughing is medicine. So integrating all of medicine is integrating this healthy lifestyle of acknowledging that there's more than what we see. You talked about the negative stuff that is bombarding us, let's say bombarding us, for sure. And the only way that we're going to protect ourselves, without saying I'm putting a protection there, because you know I'm not a believer in putting a protection, but what we are looking to do is to strengthen our etheric web so we can imbibe energy without it causing us harm. That's a difficult thing to do. And how we do it? Through our thoughts, through how we treat ourselves first and others, what we put into our mouth. Are we grateful for what comes into our mouth? And when we speak, are those words kind? So when you start to get this energy field or these etheric, astral, mental fields starting to get very strong, we can protect ourselves from that negativity that is coming.
So it's a combination of all those things together. And, you know, different people have different strengths. Sometimes people are eating very healthy, but they're so worried about what they're eating that the worry about it offsets, like, the healthy molecules. So there's a balance.
Yes, there is a balance. It's how we prepare the food, how we cook it, where we get it from, and with the appreciation and the gratefulness of it. You know, I'm a believer that we bless our food. We can shift the negative energy in our food by blessing it. Obviously, it's not going to have the same components as organic or even better biodynamic food. However, it will not cause the harm that people think.
So there are so many things to do. And you gave us lots of really wonderful hints that people can bring into their life right away. Like you talked about sea salt and baking soda. Put it in your bathtub. Use a water filter for the water in your bathtub. That can pull out a lot of radiation. I tell people to use that even if they know they're going to get x-rays. You can do it before and after. And I'll usually also combine using thuja, that's thuja, as a homeopathic to help to offset negative effects of x-rays when we can. But we're talking about the fact that...
vaccines.
Is that a good thing?
And vaccines. Thuja is the number one remedy to neutralize the detrimental effects of vaccines.
You're so right. And wow, that's another big topic that we have to go into.
That's a whole other subject, darling.
I know. Is anyone going to be discussing vaccinations? It's so touchy because the medical industry is pushing them like crazy.
You know, Dietrich will always bring it up. But there's no one topic on vaccinations, but autism will come up.
Right. It'll be integrated into it.
Yeah, it'll be integrated, you know. I mean, I don't think this is the time to talk about vaccines because we need to go way back to even the polio vaccine to even explain all of what has occurred. And the amount, compared to when we had our children, the amount of vaccines that are given to our kids are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're aware. Do you remember?
Well, you know, my children were not vaccinated.
I didn't either.
They're in their 40s because even then I was not someone who was pro-vaccination. Over the years, my kids, my son who travels extensively, when he was going to Vietnam, I think he got one vaccination. He was already a grown man. But they did not have those childhood vaccines.
Oh, my son never has had. So, in fact, he was, you know, as you know, John, my son, works very closely with me and also sees patients at Light Harmonics. And he was volunteering at Haiti during the earthquake for Acupuncturists Without Borders, and they refused to allow him to come because he was not vaccinated. And he refused to get the vaccines.
Right. So it does stand in your way because of legal issues at times with schooling. And what's much more horrendous now is that children are being taken away from parents due to parental negligence if they don't acquiesce and get vaccines in many cases. So,
well, in these cases, the first defense is fusia. If the child is having reactions to vaccines, there's a few remedies that can be given at the time before it really sets into the system. But fusia is your number one.
Yes, and that's something that we do use, and it doesn't seem to have any kind of negative effect either, so it's so worth trying as a protectant. Well, believe it or not, we're getting close to the end of our time together, Dr. Linda, but let people know a little bit more about how they can find out about the conference, how exciting the conference is, and how else to connect with you.
Well, we have two fantastic keynote speakers. One is Woodson Merrill, who is very well known. He's been on Dr. Oz, and he's on medical advisory boards, and he will talk about this whole integrative medicine that's happening today. James Gordon is a renowned psychiatrist, and he will be talking about transforming trauma. Of course, we have our Dietrich Klinghardt, and at the opening ceremony, many of us do not know her, but she is an environmental activist, Terry Tempest Williams, and a brilliant writer. And she will give us a message from the planet. And there, of course, we have Anne Louise Gittleman talking about firing up digestion and detox and why the gallbladder is not a throwaway organ. We talked about Martin Paul and Dr. Asher talking about, then, of course, Zachary Bush, who is going to talk about, he's very, very brilliant in the biome. He understands and lectures at just another level.
Okay, well, we have to bring it to an end, so just tell us how people can find out more.
Just go to gfimusa.com, and the information is there. Just look at World Congress of Integrative Medicine. Go to New York. You'll see our speakers. You'll see the schedule. You can register just by clicking on. If you want to just get to see the videos, we have a membership that we have membership. So you become a member, and you have access to the website. You have access to not only this year, but other years. So you can see Klinghardt speak more than once.
Well, thank you, Linda. We have to sign off. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Get in touch with
us. Oh, yes. And I hope everybody can come and stay in touch with us, please.
And don't forget to stay healthy.